Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap. Crack them for us, Ronnie. You don't want you to break your finger. I just got some water. I'm behaving tonight, but we are back. We got another hire, another week, more hires, more news, a couple press conferences, some brick wall material. I just got to find the right one to run through. And just right now, the momentum is continuing to build going into what we've stated, you know, for the last few months is one of the most important off seasons in recent Bears history, or recent Bears memory, if you will. And they just get the new hire at the quarterback coach position in Luke Getsy. Get him from the Green Bay Packers. As Joey brought to my attention, former MAC champion over with the Akron Zips. But before we get into the full spectrum of the new hire, let's check in with the co-host. Joey, how are you today, my guy?
Doing good, man. I shaved. I'm clean shaving for this pod. Yeah. A little bit of a 4 o'clock shadow comeback, 5 o'clock shadow, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what time of day it is right now. So doing good. I'm hoping that Villanova can pull this out. I might have to smash them as underdogs if they turn to more underdogs. We were talking about that. But, yeah, as far as the Bears go, man, all positive on my end of things. So I'm feeling good. I like what I heard from, for the most part, from the press conferences, and I'm sure we'll dive into that. But, yeah, man, all's good on my end. How are you guys doing?
We run the North, bro. We run the North. Ron, how about you?
I must say, over the last about 72 hours or so, I think the Bears are a more optimistic team in Chicago than the Blackhawks. But that is neither here nor there. They're moving up the hierarchy.
Yeah, guys. They're moving up the rankings.
Yeah, it's good. Like, right now I feel like it's obviously the Bulls. I mean, come on. Check out our friends over at Bulls on Tap. Little shameless plug. But they're doing great. They're doing good things over there, right? And then you got – it's probably the Sox. I know none of us are White Sox fans, but, like, they're up and coming. Like, they got some hype there. And then I feel like the Cubs and Bears are kind of in, like, a two-way tie for third place.
An arms race, yeah.
The Cubs are, like – there's some excitement around the Cubs, but, like, it feels like a breath of fresh air for the Bears. And it feels that that relief in itself – because of the weight this city holds when it comes to the Bears' success, is like they're up there. And then there's what is the term from Moneyball? Then there's a half a mile of shit, and then there's us. That's what the Blackhawks, I think, are at after today. And for those that at home that have paid attention to the news cycle, that's kind of what it feels nowadays. But outside of all of that, Mr. Beaton, I'm doing good, man. It's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. You know, we're chilling. It's a snow day here in Chicago. Joey, I know you didn't get to participate in the fun.
Yeah, I'm glad about that.
But yeah, I don't blame you. We got a foot of snow here, so you're fine. But yeah, man, I'm just chilling. I'm here to talk some Bears football with you guys because I too, on Monday, was ready to run through a brick wall.
Yeah, and two, also, like, the first week in 22 plus weeks where there's actually no meaningful football game on Sunday. The Pro Bowl's this weekend.
Weird.
There's some fun stuff with, like, the skills competition and stuff like that. I saw they're doing, like, a 40-yard dash competition, so I'm excited to see that. I'm pretty sure Tyreek Hill will win if he's participating, but that
can we bet that? That's the real question.
I'll have to get back to you on that. I would definitely bet on that, but there's a lot of stuff in the news cycle right now, and new head coaches signing other places, general chaos in the NFL. Like, there's just kind of the stuff that we were talking about just last week. Remember, we were talking about more people of color in prominent positions. And then, you know, you wake up yesterday and there's three teams on the docket getting sued by one of the guys that we wanted the Bears to hire. But, you know, we went with Matt Eberflus instead. So that's where we're at right now. And with Luke Getsy joining the squad, I think, like, as much as we hate the Packers, as much as we hate the cheese, one thing that they owned the entire NFL on over the last few years was their passing game. They could hit you short. They could hit you deep. They could hit you with fucking Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and they could hit you with Jake Kumerow. It didn't matter who was catching the ball. It helps having a guy like Aaron Rodgers throwing it.
And Devontae Adams.
Yeah, and Devontae Adams catching
it. Don't get it twisted.
But the plays that were drawn up, the concepts and all that stuff, it all goes hand in hand, you know, the X's and O's and the Jimmy's and Joe's. So I think getting the X's and O's in order, and then you got Ryan Poles and Eberflus. You know, Eberflus, I saw a picture of him down at the Senior Bowl. He is at the Senior Bowl, boots on ground right now. So I'm excited, and I think just another great signing in the current, you know, signing hall that we're on right now.
Yeah, I mean, he gets a new job, and look at that. He's already to work. You know, like, that's the amazing part about this. Like, it just shows me that they care about this, too, and they're taking it serious, doing their due diligence. I mean, kind of you could say about the entire process for the Bears hiring process of all these guys, like Eberflus and Poles. I mean, I hate to give George too much credit, and I don't want to give him too much credit either, but I think they actually did a pretty good job here, you know, like, especially with Ryan Poles. Like, I walked away really refreshed with what I heard from him. I know he was nervous at first, and that's like, it's obvious. Like, you're going to be nervous. This is a first for him. It's a first for Eberflus being a head coach. It's a first for Poles being a GM. Like, this is a big moment for these guys, you know, and that's why I liked with Eberflus, him making that joke when he came up there, you know, what, no clapping. And that's like, it was so obvious, because that's what I thought too. Like, right when he walked up there, I'm like, why aren't they? I know that it's like a journalistic thing. You're not supposed to do that.
No. Beat on in that bitch. That's, like, no, let's yeah, go.
I was gonna say,
let's go. Yeah, Ron, too.
I would be.
Like, it's like, you, even if you're sitting there in the back and you're doing one of these, like the little golf clap, you're like,
dude, journalists are such fucking. I mean, don't get me wrong. I definitely freaked out about how the Coastal guys were at the Cure Bowl, because they were all being jagoffs. But there's like, there's a certain extent that, like, there's still a human aspect to being a journalist, right, and being a reporter.
Time and place. Yeah. Like, this is the time for that.
Yeah. And it's like, I get that. Like, yeah, we have had an absolute, like, schmuck for our coach for the last few years that you can't get up for and you can't clap for. But in that situation, I think he has every right to make that joke where it's just like, dude, yeah, like, read the room. Just like you're saying, read the room.
And, like, yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, we all want to be – we want them to prove it to us, right? We want them to show us something on the field. Like, I understand that. Even – and these guys, not all these media people are – they're not all Bears fans. Like, there's people that are from out of town. Like, they're not – you know, whatever. They're looking at it neutral, and they're trying to be just reporters. So I understand that, but it's like, you know, even the Bears people weren't clapping or anything. Like, you got those people in the room, and it's – to me, it's just like, if you want good answers and to really, like, loosen them up – as people that you're interviewing for the first time, just being introduced to me, how do you do that? You crack the tension early. Yeah. Like, you like
anybody that's ever interviewed anyone. I just got done doing an interview with Kevin Austin Jr. for Irish on Tap, my favorite receiver on the team. And it's like, I told him at the beginning, like, yeah, I just need like 20, 30 minutes of your time. And before you fucking know it, we're on the thing for an hour, cracking jokes, laughing, having a good old time. It's just like, here's my column. And why Matt Eberflus yelled at me because I didn't clap. Like, no, you're a jagoff. Like, show some emotion. Don't be such a schmuck. And actually, like, be more than just my column and an emotionless reporter. Because, like, if you look at the best ones in the game, the best, you know, analysts and the people that we gravitate to, you look at, like, the – and these aren't just, like, reporters. I'm talking to, like people you see on TV, like the Stuart Scotts of the world. People that you remember that have, like, the personality. And it's like – you don't want everything to be PC and everything to be by the book. Like, show a little bit of who you are. And I think in that moment, it's just like, just, yeah, get up and give them a golf clap, literally a golf clap.
Right.
You don't have to be in there like, let's go, like, welcome coach, like all that. But like,
not like how we would be, but yeah.
A little golf clap, like a little, yeah.
And that's the thing too, like, Beaton, like, we're like, I don't want to get too hung up on it, because it's not something like, at the end of the day, I don't really.
There's people that are dissecting what buttons he buttoned on his fucking thing. Ron, I know you heard about that, where they were dissecting what buttons he had on his shirt when he sit up and when he was sitting and when he was standing, and it's like
what pen they're fucking signing contracts with.
Yeah, they were saying that he used a Bic to sign the pen. I mean, that's more on George and us just being shitbags. That's not on Eberflus, but
right.
But you got to bust out like the damn pen that signed the Declaration of Independence, okay, my dude. It's got to be one of those ones that you dip in the ink with, like, almost like a. Like a blue George and Washington orange, special. A blue and orange feather, like hanging out that thing. Like, it's got to be mean, bro. None of the like the 100-pack Bics that you get when you're a server, because I have like 100 of them in my car.
You got to have the George Washington special, man.
Yeah, heck
yeah, you got to go all out. I mean, like, I don't know about you guys. Like, I'm kind of excited here, and I like what you guys said too. Like, it shows they have personality. I almost feel like it's nice that these guys are lesser known, or like that they come in feeling nervous. You know what I mean? Because like to me, like, when you feel nervous about something, it means you really care. And even if you, like, don't – even if you fake not being nervous, like, when you're nervous, it peaks through, right? Like, there's something about it that peaks through. And maybe not direct correlation here, but we'll go ahead and say it anyway here, because why not? Let's take shots at the old regime. Here we go. So, I mean, you had, like, a guy like Ryan Pace, right, who would, like, come in really – like, really confident all the time. Like, I feel like when he took the job, like, everybody's like, wow, this guy, he's like, it's like he's been here before.
John Chisholm, like, as fuck.
Yeah, and yeah. Then, like, Matt Nagy was kind of the same way. And so it's like, maybe it's kind of nice that these guys are excited and, like, a little nervous. And because, like,
yeah,
they're like, holy shit, this is fucking dope. Like, people need to remember, bro, the Chicago Bears are the oldest franchise that still exists in the league. Like,
yeah.
1920 – you know, down in freaking Decatur is the Staleys. Like, they started it all. And then obviously the Cardinals came in 21. And then in 22, it was the Packers. Like, that's like the founding foundation of the NFL. And it's a shame because nobody thinks about the Arizona Cardinals that way, but everybody thinks about Green Bay and Chicago that way. Like, it's kind of like the birthplace of football. Like, sure, I know it's Canton, Ohio officially, but, like, when in terms of, like, current day NFL, it's kind of the birthplace of football. Like, it's the longest standing rivalry. Everybody at least understands the magnitude of it. They don't necessarily have to live it and understand it, but it's because it's the Bears. Like, they're a prominent franchise. Yeah, they're a prominent franchise in the NFL. Like, they are still a meaningful franchise, even though they haven't won dick in 40 years.
Yeah. Well, and, like, that's the thing. Our fan base is so hung up on that one Super Bowl because it's all we have.
Diehards, bro. Think about Chicago. Nobody gave a fuck about the Blackhawks in the 1990s and early 2000s until they did something. Like, but the Bears haven't done shit in forever, and people still care. This is a Bears town, and it's always been a Bears town.
I think, not to turn this into four feathers, but if you look at it for what it is, the point that you just made for the Bears, right, Ron? Blackhawks also an original franchise, and we're just sitting here looking at, you know, one of the original six. I used to have the little t-shirt with all the logos on it.
The original six,
yeah, because they sell the shit out of those at Blackhawks games.
Oh, but, those are pushed very hard.
But it's like, dude, like, I feel like, not to make this four feathers or just like a Chicago sports on tap, but we should be in such a better situation with our sports teams than we actually are being fucking Chicago. You know what I'm saying? And it's right, just like,
exactly.
It's like, you look at it like this, the Cubs, Sox are both also, like, if you look at it, are almost original franchises. Like, everything was built from the fucking ground up with the leagues.
Like,
we started with, like, all the core four leagues with a team in each. And the only
besides the NBA,
the only one that's in a good position is the one that wasn't in the core four, the Bulls. And then the one that will
be, that's funny you said that,
the one that will not be named on this podcast. So that's where we're at right now.
Right.
The city is not burning down, but there are some embers starting to kick in. And
but, like, just quickly sum up my point. But, like, we got off on the tangent because it's true. Like, this is Chicago. It's a hell of a market to be in.
Shitbox Chicago.
Yeah, but, like, these guys see that, right? Like, I think Poles sees it. And, like, I think Poles – you know what I honestly think is a huge part of Poles' like, attraction to Chicago is because it feels like maybe this was a place he wanted to stick around in when he signed as an undrafted free agent, and he didn't get the opportunity to do so. Now he's like, you know what? I can, and I can do incredible things here because this city is dope, and it's like there is so much cool to it as much as there is bad about the city of Chicago. But, like – she's a beauty, and the Bears are a beautiful organization, even though they haven't done shit in forever. Like, they're an original team. There's that respect around the NFL, the classic blue and orange, the monsters of the Midway. Like, there's a tradition here that people respect and honor and appreciate. But, like, every single person in the NFL knows if you win in Chicago, you are etched into that league's history until the end of time. Like, your name goes, like, being spoken in legend stories. And, like,
I mean, we're the first team to carry the defensive coordinator off after the Super Bowl, Buddy Ryan.
Right. They
carried his ass off before they carried Dick off. Like, you can become a legend so easily in this city, you know?
Right.
Look at a guy like the Fridge.
Exactly. They still make money on their names here in Chicago. Yeah. Like,
dude, you want to hear something funny? I wrote that article about, like, would it make sense for a reunion with Lovie Smith or Rod Marinelli to be defensive coordinator or whatever.
Shameless here. Plug over at ontapsportsnet.com. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, Joey. Had to plug it real quick, but you know, obviously we got our DC now with Alan Williams, but so it wasn't really to necessarily plug like the idea of it, but it was funny because when I posted that on Facebook, there was somebody that commented on it and he said, well, yeah, sure. Why don't we just bring back Buddy Ryan? And then somebody's like, well, he's dead. So
yeah, like, Joey, if there's one thing I'll train you on that probably should be at like the on tap, like seminar every year, once you press send on something into a Facebook group, don't go back.
Oh, it's horrible.
Just don't ever go back. Just put it in the group. And whatever happens, don't go back.
Dude, I already knew this because Literally it's every article that like, if it makes any amount of sense to someone who studies or like watches or like is paying attention to links and stuff with between Tampa 2 defenses and, you know, like Lovie Smith and Rod Marinelli and the links between Eberflus, if it makes any ounce of sense, it makes no sense to people on Facebook or Reddit. Like,
well, and the thing is too, and I'm going to address something too, because I, as funny as it sounds, being the one member of this podcast that's been with it since episode one, I haven't had the Twitter until like 2-3 months ago. Right. Yo, if you're tuned in right now and you're in our comments, just being a prick, cut that shit out, bro. We've been getting some hateful ass comments about like, and there's a lot of people that write. It's not even always us that write the stuff. Honestly, I'll be the first one to admit it. I probably write the least amount of stuff. It's usually like guys like Alok, guys like Quentin, Joey, Ron. There's been some hateful ass shit in our tweets about our takes. And it's just like, dude, take it easy. Like, take it easy.
Yeah, I don't really understand why though. I think it's just like some people just
the Nick Foles video kickstarted the hatred, and there's been some clowns that have stuck around since.
They're just looking for opportunities to like, I'm gonna fucking get them now. Like, that's the one. Just attack them now. But I think like a lot of it's just like social media. Like you look around, it's just, they just want looking for reasons to fucking call somebody out or like and. Most of the time it's people that don't actually make content themselves or like they're just like, they might think they're the smartest person in the room, but like you're not putting the attempt in that we are. So it's like, what's your issue here? Like, I don't understand. Like,
I will say of all the armchair GMs in the greater Chicagoland area, us being three of them, as beautiful as it is to be an armchair GM, we finally got our guy. And, I don't know. Do you know when the free agency period starts? It's got to be soon. It's got to be like within the next month. Is it March? You're mute, Ron.
Why does this always happen every
year? It's got to be like March 8th, right? Like the first.
Yeah, it's like March. It's early March. It's like early to mid March. Because I remember what like the reason it sticks.
You got a hell of a lot more Robinson. Money than the Packers, bro.
Yeah. Looks like it's like March 16th. So yeah,
there you go.
Okay.
Just in time for car bombs in celebration of a good free agency.
Yeah, we're about 6 weeks out, and then you got the draft in three months. So,
not even.
You know, yeah, I think it's like 2 months. So
it's a little under three.
Right now, it's just continue to build the coaching staff. I've heard a lot of names like floated around prior to them actually hiring Luke Getsy. Like they were talking about guys like Doug Peterson and all these names to come in on these different coordinator spots. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all that. Like I somewhat like taking a chance on a guy that hasn't done it before or is a newer guy like Luke Getsy, as opposed to like some of the elder statesmen in the room. Because I think like we saw last year with a coach like Sean Desai, right? Hasn't been a coordinator, has always been a positional guy. And you saw him put together a really good defensive unit that – was not the beneficiary of a good complementary football team. And when I say that, I mean we had our right special teams. Our offense was your typical run-of-the-mill Chicago Bears offense. There was nothing special about it. Had a few games where we put together a good half. But I honestly don't think there was a game all season that we put together four quarters of good offensive play.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, man. Like, I look at it, I'm with you too. Like I kind of want somebody that might be an innovator and we don't really know what we're getting. And just the sense that like you look at Getsy and he was interviewed for the Broncos job, I believe. And so it's like, okay, what he's doing behind the scenes and like the fact that Aaron Rodgers wanted him back in Green Bay because he left and then went to Mississippi State and then had success there and then came back like when LaFleur was hired in 2019. Like the fact that Rodgers wanted that guy back in the building, that speaks volumes to me. And then you look at the offense take off once LaFleur got there and then having Getsy still around. I mean, Getsy was a huge part of, I believe, I mean, obviously Rodgers is a big part to do with it, but Jordy Nelson
fuck Aaron Rodgers. He's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Fuck him. But yeah, he's fucking horrible. We all are happy.
We saw him get exposed. We saw him get exposed 2 weeks ago. He's terrible. And he's a choke artist guy. Yeah.
He's a choke artist. But like, look at 2016, man. Like, comeback player of the year, Jordy Nelson. Like, Getsy was around for that. I think he was a wide receivers coach at that point. Yeah. And then he was a big part of Devontae Adams' development. He also, like, their turnover rate, like, Eberflus was talking big. He's been about
Green Bay since 2019.
And he was when he came back.
Yeah. Or, okay. He was there in 14, went to Mississippi State, and then second stint with the Packers in 2019 is when it started.
Right. Like, and Eberflus was talking about how big it is, not only for just getting turnovers on the defensive side of the ball, but he mentioned how important it is. I mean, we all know, like, it's important to take care of the ball too, but he mentioned that. The Packers have been, like, the best team. A lot of that, like you said, is to do to Aaron Rodgers, but they really know how to take care of the football. And Getsy is, like, RPO system. Like, even at Mississippi State, he also had, like, a lot of designed quarterback runs with their – I forget who their quarterback was, but
– Yeah, I was trying to see if it was Dak, and I'm like, nah, he didn't get Dak over there.
No, it wasn't Dak, but they had Kylin Hill, bro. Kylin Hill was their running back.
He's a dog, yeah. He's on the Packers now, right?
He did the Packers. But their leading rusher that year that he was back at Mississippi State was their quarterback. So yeah. – Like, because a lot of designed runs and RPOs and stuff. So, with the guy like Justin Fields, you can only imagine that this is like, this could be a good fit here. You know, I'm excited about Luke Getsy.
I am too, honestly, because like you guys said, it feels like they're making such responsible hires. That's really what it feels like, because these are all guys with experience. They might not be well known, but they all have experience. Like today, Tolbert was hired as the receiver and passing game coordinator coach. And like, yeah, he's maybe never been more than a receivers coach, but like he's been a receivers coach in the NFL since 2003. And he's been coaching overall since like 1994. Like all these guys have deep football experience, years and years. And like, you know, they've stuck around long enough to see the evolution of football. And like, it really does feel like the Bears are finally like trying to like somehow find a perfect balance between like guys with super duper experience and understanding the game of football for a long time and like the evolution and like the respect to the old game while still being able to adapt to the new game. It's like, it almost feels like they're trying to reinvent the wheel, but like not necessarily in a negative sense of like, they're trying to be different and like really go after it and like take advantage of something the Bears have never had. The Bears have never had a dual threat quarterback. That was never a thing for the Chicago Bears. Like it feels like they're kind of trying to do like in their own way of what Baltimore did with Lamar Jackson. Like they're really buying into Justin Fields, and this is the set of, you know, this is the team that like, if you're going to maximize Justin Fields, here's how we do it. And that's really what it's seeming like they're trying to bring in, is like deep, deep experience. So I love it. And I'm in the process of looking up right now about our friend Luke Getsy over with the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'm trying to figure out who the quarterback was that year.
I had it pulled up. I just forgot off the top of my head.
It looks like Nick Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that goes to show, like, that wasn't the Dak time. And, like, I don't know. Luke Getsy is so intriguing because, like, again, he was getting head coaching interviews. Like, and he gets hired as an OC. So, like, there's clearly some level of, like, I don't want to call it, like, McVayism. But, like, I think there's an excitement about him as just, like, a guy in football, right? Because, like, Sean McVay was, like, this, like, an enamor of, like, oh, he's young and he's different. Yeah. Like, Getsy gives off that similar vibe, maybe not to the same extent as, like, a Sean McVay. But, like, this, like, oh, this is a guy that, like, paired maybe well with Justin Fields is going to be able to maximize him and really turn him into a great player. And that's exciting because, like, could you imagine, like, the the Bears having a quarterback throw for like 4,500 yards in the season. Do you know how foreign that is to the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, what a concept, Ron. Holy shit. Dude, what language are you speaking right now?
I'm speaking something that doesn't even derive from the Rosetta Stone, my friend. Like, we are going off the board here because foreign, it's just non-existent.
Bears, yeah.
Right. It's just non-existent in Chicago Bears history. And like, they can still run the ball and be effective, but like, imagine a Bears team that has like a middle of the pack defense, or like, you know, 12-13 defense, yeah. You know, maybe 14-15 because of the talent gap between like what Eberflus had in Indy, but like still pretty good, like good enough to like get you by and win you games. But like, imagine them having like the number 8 offense in the NFL.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
I'm literally like trying to hold back diehard laughter out of disbelief, yeah, because like that would never happen. Right.
Next,
like,
week's assignment is to look up for each of our respective ages to see what the highest we've ever ranked in offensive rank during our life.
Oh, because, man.
I mean, look, we're all about the same age. I don't think at any point in our lives that they've been like top 10. There can't.
I bet you.
There's no way.
The best you could go back to is probably that one stupid September that Rex Grossman had. Like, remember that one September that Rex Grossman was just like fucking going nuclear?
I mean,
like,
listen. How the fuck do you draft a guy named Rex Grossman?
Boys,
it's gross, boys, dude.
I officially have offensive ranks here.
Okay.
Oh, boy. In front of me.
Oh, boy.
For points. For points. The Bears were top 10 in 2018. In yards, they were 21, but in points, they were 9. But their defense overall,
yeah, because their defense was like, scoring shit. Yeah,
yeah, their defense that year was sick.
What about yards? What? Like,
so okay, here we go. In 2013, under Mark Trestman, with Forte, Cutler, Jeffrey, in points, number 2 in the league. In yards, number 8. But their defense was 30th in both categories. That's why they sucked so bad. But they had a top 10 offense that year.
Was that the Mel Tucker year?
Mel Tucker loves running the shit out of the football, bro.
It might have been. Let me look.
Man, Mel Tucker was horrible on the
It DC. Was Mel Tucker. It was Mel Tucker.
Bro, that was the Mel year Tucker. I remember we had a great offense and just like that defense.
The defense was bad. It was like the one time ever that like the Bears defense wasn't at least like.
I'm pretty sure we had like Bostic was our best defender that year or something. Ugh, like,
Mr. Yeah. Boom Bostic. He's still kicking, bro. He's still somewhere.
I know. I'm surprised too, because
I don't know what team, but I see him every now and then like making plays.
Jay McClellan. Was McClellan on that squad?
Bro, Shea McClellan, what a great draft pick that was.
Oh, man. He actually worked out a little bit for the Pats, I feel like, better than us. Yeah. But you guys want to hear something petty real fast?
I love petty.
Listen, this is petty on the Packers' end. They already removed – I know they're going to do this anyways. They already removed Luke Getsy's, like, coaching history profile on their website.
Dude, don't feel too bad. The New York Giants already removed Tolbert's, and he just got hired today. Dude,
bro, they are so salty, though. Nathaniel Hackett went.
Can we talk about how cool and tough of a name Tyke is? Tyke Tolbert? Tolbert? That guy was born to be a football guy.
A-O-T-T. Right? Heck yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Mike Tolbert, also big fullback, big football guy named Tyke. That's like 3 levels above Mike, because there's so many Mikes in the NFL.
It's like Mike Tice, but you got Tyke and you got Tolbert.
Yeah. Joey,
just slap them together.
I'm here to say that Oklahoma has potential to be a state, but there are 0 chances that Villanova will be a state tonight. I'm sorry.
Oh, fuck my life. All right, we'll take 1 out of 2 then. I doubled down at Oklahoma State, so if they're a state,
I won't use shit, Max, because I made a parlay.
If you guys want more gambling content, also make sure to follow these 2 clowns. Yeah. And maybe myself. I'll try to start talking stuff.
Ronnie Heater.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Ronnie Heater. But go also follow On Tap Bets. We're just going to continue to plug all our friends tonight.
Also,
but guys,
Dedan,
another time.
I didn't tell you to fucking do a parlay, you bastard. So you can do whatever you want. I'm sorry.
He's got you there. Hey, also, fun fact, guys. Back in 2006, the Bears were a top scoring offense that year in points. They were number 2 in the NFL with the old Rex Grossman, Thomas Jones,
that
was the Super Bowl year.
Okay, that was Bernard Berrien, bro. That was all Bernard Berrien.
They were 15th, and they were 15th in yards, so they were at least top half the NFL in yards. But defense, they were 3-5 respectively in points and yards. They were dirty that year. The Bears have actually had in that same time frame. So from 2005 to current day, the Bears have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years where the defense was top 10 in both points and yards.
Yeah. And what? Yet we can't put together like back to back years that we go to the playoffs.
And for and
the
yet offense, people didn't want Lovie Smith back. That's a ridiculous idea.
And there was only one. There was only one year where the Bears' offense was top 10 in both, and that was that 2013 year. So it just goes to show the big difference in the size of the football here in Chicago over the course of even just recent history, not even total history. So I thought that's all fun and fine and dandy. But guys, I do have a quick question. What do you guys? I mean, we kind of started to touch on Tyke Tolbert, and, you know, and what is it? Alan Williams, right, is the new DC. How are we again? Like, just kind of expanding on the topic at hand of like, how do we feel about these hires? Because like, again, I feel like every time the Bears make a hire, even in the front office, right, with like Ian Cunningham, like I kind of sit back in my chair and I go, they got some son of a bitches that kind of know what they're doing, like. And it's weird. And it's like, I know, like, this is the preseason hype and, like, everybody's getting all hyped up because it's new and it's exciting. It's like getting a new car and then 2 years you're already talking about, like, your next car. Like, I understand the, like, the excitement, just newness in general. But, like, this is the first time in a long time. And here's a good example is with the Tolbert hire. Mike Turi was the wide receivers coach. He had, like, 3 years of coaching experience at, like, obsolete coaching levels before he got the Bears receiving coaching job. Like, he was not ready to jump from small college to NFL coach at any position. It didn't even matter that he was a position coach. Dude, like, Tyke Tolbert has been doing this. He did it collegiately from 1994 to 2002. And I know that because I wrote up the article today. And again, just like Joey's article, you can go check that out on tapsports.com. But then he jumped to the NFL, and he's been in the NFL since. He's with the Cardinals. He was with the Panthers. He did a really long stint with the Bills for a while. I think it was like the Lee Evans years of the Bills, if I remember correctly, too. You know, and then he goes to Denver, was there for when they won the Super Bowl. He was there with Gary Kubiak. So there's that Shanahan connection where, like, long ago the Bears mentioned something about wanting a little Kyle Shanahan sprinkle in their team. And he's the passing game coordinator, so go figure. But he was there, and then he went to the Giants and was there for quite a few years and, like, worked with some really good receivers. The Giants have always had good receivers. It's just they get dog shit quarterback play, and they can't get it to said receiver. Like, Darius Slayton was fantasy relevant for enough time to be like, okay, this is good. Not a shot at Darius Slayton, but, like, again, kind of a tip of the cap to our boy Tolbert. So it's just they continue to find all of this prime, like, experienced talent that, like, nobody talks about. And it kind of feels like an underdog story. I don't know about you boys. Like, this is kind of where my question is, how you feel. Like, I'm here for it. I'm here for that, like, underdog, like, fresh mentality of, like, we didn't bring in the sexy names necessarily, but these are the sons of bitches that are going to get it done.
Well, take a look at, just for example, like, we talked about it before we started, like, the way that, you know, Dominique Foxworth and Jeff Saturday were talking about the Bears just on ESPN today. It's just like, we have been the laughingstock of the league for a while. Like, it's not news to us. Like, it's been like this to where it's we're run too much like a goddamn business, and we don't care enough about winning football games. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that's on the players. I'm saying from an organizational level, they simply have not put the organization in the best spot to win for as long as I can remember. And it's almost self-sabotage, but I think, like, we have the right to be optimistic, right, Ron? Like, we have the right to be excited about these new hires.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Because we haven't seen shit yet. Now, obviously, in about 6 months, 12 months, let's revisit and see, you know, which guy ends up being the odd man out, because there always ends up being an odd man out in certain, you know, in NFL situation. But I think, like, everything's looking up. Like, we have to get newer players. We have to do, you know, kind of the roster flipping part of it where – we are at the end of what we thought was going to be our window, right? Because when they drafted Mitch, that's when Khalil Mack came in. That's when you got all these guys like Eddie Jackson coming in. You draft a running back in David Montgomery. You got all these young players. And Khalil Mack's going to be on the end of his contract. You know, Akeem Hicks, a little bit older now. Robert Quinn looked really good despite his age last year, and I know he's getting paid a lot of money, but I think he deserved it. You get rid of a guy, you get rid of guys like Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, like our damn near our whole secondary, right? So
yeah,
the secondary is starting to retool now. We see that with guys like Jalen Johnson.
Hey, quick thought. Speaking of secondary, did you see the assistant defensive backs coach by chance? Because there's a lot of hires they've been doing that don't make the news cycle because they're not sexy. Why did I just draw a blank on a name? This is not good. Oh, Mike Adams, safety. Mike Adams.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah, he played for the Colts.
Yeah, years. Yeah. He's the assistant DB coach now for the Bears. So, again, there's kind of that hiring streak too of like Eberflus is going after the guys he really likes in Indy. Like that says something to me because like again,
he took so many coaches from them.
He took a lot of coaches from Indy, dude. Like he has his guys that he goes. These guys help make the system work. And again, that's comforting because like. Proof is in the pudding with Indy, and I know the proof was sort of in the pudding, but like Nagy and Kansas City, but like Nagy didn't drag over a bunch of Kansas City assistants because they wouldn't let them go.
Nobody.
Yeah, that just shows how much
Nagy was calling plays on Sunday, bro. Nagy was definitely out there calling them plays in that second half. God bless the Bengals.
Yeah, they won me a lot of money on Sunday. I'm not mad at the Bengals at all, but just like. Again, going back to our point, right, with these hires of, like, why we can get excited is because, like, these are all guys that are coming from quality. Like, even the guys they're bringing from other places. Getsy's a perfect example. Green Bay, right? Like, you know, they're in the process of looking for a new quarterbacks coach. That guy's obviously going to have a lot of sense. Tolbert comes from somewhere else, a really respected guy over the years at his position. Like, they're bringing in guys that are respected at each position. Like, they are really trying to instill, like, a brand new culture of, like, we know what it takes to win. Now let's go win. Because there's talent on this Bears roster. Like, people don't talk about it, but there's talent. Like, Roquan Smith is a top five at linebacker in the NFL right now. You've Khalil Mack and Robert top Quinn. Three, Robert top Quinn, three. Top three. Robert Quinn's coming off literally a franchise-setting year, and Khalil Mack is a stud in his own right, obviously, and a Hall of Famer. Like, they have two elite pass rushers in what's going to become a 4-3. Think back, like, this is not a shot at these guys because I love these guys, but, like, Adewale Ogunleye and Alex Brown were dominant, were good. Dude, can you imagine Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn?
That's the thing, too. Both those guys have played in 4-3s, too. So, like – you also look at, like, Rod Marinelli. He was – and that's the reason why I was, like, wanting him as a DC tier or defensive line coach. I don't know if they named a defensive line coach, by the way. But Robert Quinn, he had 11.5 sacks with the Cowboys in a similar scheme with the Cowboys. That's why the Bears paid him so much money. So, like, Robert Quinn, dude, him and Khalil Mack, these dudes are going to absolutely eat in this system. And I have no – like – coming off a franchise record-breaking season like Robert Quinn just had, like he's not going down here. Like,
he ran the 4-3 in St. Louis too with Chris Long opposite of him. Chris Long. Yeah, they used to fuck shit up down there, bro. They used to be real good. I'm excited. I think like still we as much as Ron like. We are sucking the roster dry right now. We still do have some spots to. To fill up within the secondary and maybe at the safety position. And then obviously the offensive line, but defensive line, like if you're going to run a 4-3, you're either going to have to buckle down and pay Akeem Hicks for another year or two, or you're really going to have to find a run stuffing guy.
You got
to
get one more clogger in there.
Yeah. Cause Bilal Nichols not going to be able to do it all by himself. And I don't think Bilal Nichols, I don't know. I'd have to look back and see if he's ever played in a 4-3, maybe in college, but there's going to be a learning curve too. You have to take that into effect as well.
What do you think about Tonga though? Like
Tonga could work, but I don't know if he's going to be a three down guy.
Does he make the step?
Yeah, though? I don't think he's a three down guy. I think at best he's a two down guy.
Yeah.
And that's you know, fair, he could, he's a good like run stuffing number one. I don't think he's going to start though. Like I really think they need him. There's a big question here to be made on defense. Okay, now you've tickled my fancy of like talking the X's and O's and the Joes. Here we go. We got to talk Jimmy's and Joes because this defensive line is going to be interesting because And I got to shout out our boy who was on our last show with us, Quentin, wrote an incredible article today outlining like what the Eberflus defense needs. And it was such a good read. If people don't go read, please go read it. Like, it's, if you enjoy personnel talk and like system talk and football and who needs to be where type players, read that article. It is to the T. It's the best thing I've ever read. Go read it. It's our boy at Butkus Stats on Twitter. But he explained, and it's so true. Think back to the 05, 06, 07, 08 through, you know, what, effectively 2010 Bears, the Urlacher and Briggs and Brown and yada yada days. Tommy Harris, Henry Melton. You need that elite three tech to work in this, like, this group. Like, you need a very good three tech. So the question I have for the Bears is Bilal Nichols your three tech, or do they need to go out and get a true three tech and let Bilal Nichols play the one? Which then plays a better question, is Bilal Nichols really a one? I don't think he is. If anything, I would argue Akeem Hicks is more of a one than Bilal Nichols is. So, and another fun question, is Akeem Hicks your one, and do you pay him enough to stay for a year or two, maybe three, and have Bilal Nichols be your three with those elite pass rushers on the edge? That interior defensive line is the biggest question mark, I think, on that defense. They need one more linebacker because they have Roquan. I don't think they have a true guy to play that either Will or Mike spot. Because, like, and I agree with Quentin. He outlined it. Roquan could play the Will or the Mike. But, like, they need a guy that can just play one of the other two. And then they can put Roquan where they want to put him. And then they have the back end of guys to do it. Jalen's a physical corner. They probably could use another physical corner to, again, shove guys inside to the linebackers, how the system works. Because then you got your ball hawk, Eddie Jackson. They could probably use another ball hawk. I don't hate Deion Bush for the meantime, but, like, they eventually need to upgrade that position. I don't think Gibson's the answer either. So, like, but that's kind of the biggest question marks, right? Is, like, they need one more linebacker. Maybe they need one or two more DBs. But, like, that 1-3 situation to me is the most fascinating on that defense. I don't know about you guys and what your thoughts are, but, like, I'm very intrigued to hear what you guys have to say about that. Because that is, again, is a very – like, look at Indianapolis.
Hey, if DeForest you can't Buckner, stop the run and you don't got to pass –
DeForest Buckner is your, like, three technique down there.
I honestly, like – and I'll let B-Don kind of give his opinion on this too. But I actually kind of think that this might be an area where they could – potentially develop somebody in the draft, like take a flyer on somebody, maybe a fourth round or something. I think that this is a spot where Eberflus has shown that he can kind of develop like either defensive line or linebackers. So maybe you draft either a linebacker, like you said, you need one or the other two for a linebacker spot, especially to replace Trevathan, and then you can kind of move Roquan to whichever spot you need to, because he could play either or. Like, but, like, on that defensive front, like, I think they could just draft and potentially fill that spot. I mean, I know it's taking a risk and it's not necessarily addressing it in the free agency. You could do that too. But, like, just trying to see where you could save some money. Like, potentially you could spend on a cornerback or spend on a safety, move Deion Bush. I think Deion Bush, like you said, I think he's better in, like, a role where he's just coming in and out. He's not really, like, on the field 24/7. But – I don't know. Those are just kind of my thoughts. I'm not really sure what they're going to do there, because what's going to happen with, like, Eddie Goldman? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I think Eddie Goldman's played his last down as a Chicago Bear, to be quite honest. And,
that's what I thought. That's what I think, too. But, I mean
– honestly, I didn't even mention him. That's why I didn't mention him. But I just feel like you have to get the right guys for the system, and as opposed to, like, doing the slam your dick in a desk drawer with Matt Nagy and people that didn't fit his system, and him trying to, like, get people that clearly couldn't do what he wanted to do to succumb to that. I think you're going to get a different approach with Eberflus and with Poles. Like similar to how they're doing the coaching staff, they're going to go out there and find their guys that, you know, and they're going to fight tooth and nail for them, because for both of them, this is their first opportunity. And I know you're going to be like, well, it was Pace and Nagy's first opportunity too. It's just different this time. I know I sound like a broken record as a Bears fan, because we're at the very beginning of the cycle of pain where our expectations aren't really high, but we're all optimistic, and only stuff can go wrong from this point. And I mean, maybe it will, but right now I am pretty optimistic about the state of the coaching staff. And obviously once we start wheeling out player signings and who we're interested in the draft, then we can start figuring out who these guys really are between the lines.
Yeah, I agree. I think the next like couple months are incredibly interesting for a variety of reasons, because you have the Senior Bowl, obviously that's happening right now, but then you have free agency. Free agency is going to be interesting because the Bears have a little money to spend, not an egregious amount, but they have some money to spend, and they're a lot of money is going to be freed up by Akeem Hicks hitting the free agent market and Allen Robinson hitting the free agent market. And some of these other guys, Andy Dalton is another name that they'll probably let walk. Like, there's a lot of money to be freed up. Obviously, dead cap is something they have to consider because of all the contract reworking that, you know, homeboy Ryan Pace did. But, like, they'll have a little bit of money to spend. And they can make, like, kind of those – what Indy was really good at, and I feel like KC's also been kind of good at, is, like – kind of taking underdog guys and turning them into valuable, like, even if it's role players, like that could be something that's really good for the model for 2022. Like, let this team get exciting. Like, let them maybe win like 9-10 games next year. Like, maybe they don't make the playoffs, but like let them tickle your fancy a little bit, right?
Let them
like,
hit Joey's win total without him having to replace the to get a lower total.
Yes, exactly.
Like, hit that preseason total.
Yeah, let's hit that preseason total. Like, let's make it interesting. Let there be hope, because then when some of that money becomes even more available after that dead cap really starts to fall off, then the Bears can actually start really making not only big money moves, but also draft moves, because then they'll have a first round pick after this upcoming draft, because obviously they don't with the Fields trade. But still, you got five picks in this upcoming draft. Maybe they get more somehow, but let's just say it's five. Do what you can to maximize the five, make a couple little pitter patter free agency moves, you know, still have some cap space, roll into next year with a first rounder and a little more money available. And like, this team is primed for, like, they have enough young guys that are meaningful contributors where, like, they can bring some of the quote-unquote core now over to 2 and 3 years into the future, where this team is probably competitive and maybe making some moves and maybe reclaiming that NFC North, like Ryan Pohl said in his interview. So I'm excited.
The onomatopoeia of the episode.
Hit me with it.
They're calling the Glazers in because the new window is open, baby. We run the fucking North.
Let's go.
I love that.
All right. So a couple final things before we wrap up, because I don't know if we'll have an episode next week. Crazy weekend of football. Obviously, we are a football podcast, and the Super Bowl is probably the single most – I think it's just the most important sporting event, I guess you would say. Like, it's a standalone one-game winner-takes-all. Who do you guys got in this Super Bowl, and why?
You want me to start it? I honestly, dude, you know what? I'm going to save mine. I'm going to tease mine for On Tap Bets. Check out at On Tap Bets, because we'll have like a Super Bowl preview. We'll be running through some prop bets. We'll be running through the matchup itself. I haven't landed on who I think is actually who I'm going to take like against the spread and the money line. I can tell you I want the Bengals to win, but I know it's going to piss B-Don off because he's like he's a Rams fan too. A little bit. I know you're a Bears fan. Like,
this is my schedule, bro. And I just explained this when I did the interview earlier with Kevin. I said the Bears are just simply despite being in the same conference, we play the Rams every now and then, and obviously I'm rooting for the Bears in those games. But we're never in the fucking playoffs, and it's like I watch football with my dad, but when it comes to like the Rams and in the playoffs, like my dad kicks it up a level, and it's like, it's going to sound superstitious. We've been at the exact same bar/restaurant for all three games, all three of them won, same down to the same table, my dude. Like, this dude is fully invested in like his Aaron Donald jersey. So obviously me being a guy that, as you know, I like to follow with my friends and my teams and all that. Like, if my friend's rooting for a team and as long as it's not the Green Bay Packers, like, yeah, I'll throw a couple let's goes, maybe a little $10 bet on them, as long as Joey didn't bet them as well. But I'm just kidding. Dude, Villanova's
Oklahoma's about to be a state.
Oh, Villanova's getting their taters mashed, dude. I'm going to need to be looking for a cash out button here soon.
Game of swings, my friend. You're coming back.
But, I mean, even growing up, like, Ron, I know you idolized certain players growing up. Like, I was a huge Isaac Bruce fan. That was my favorite player growing up. So, like, I've always gravitated toward the Rams, but, like, I'm not like a fan. Like if they win, like, yeah, I'm obviously like, we're going to be drinking and shit. Like we're going to have a good time. Like my dad's a huge Rams fan. I'm going to be celebrating with him, but like, it's not going to hit how it would hit. Like when I was down on the field, when NIU won the fucking MAC and I'm just like, ah, like, or, right. or if the Bears won the Super Bowl, if like Notre Dame won the CFP, like it wouldn't hit like that. But like a team that I follow and support, I wouldn't say I'm like a diehard. It would be cool to see them win, especially with Stafford too. I think like Stafford, like Joe Scheisty is going to have his time. The AFC is going to be a shootout. The AFC is going to be a shootout for the next 10 to 15 years. And it could be a different guy every time.
They got all the QBs, man. All the QBs.
So I think that too, for us, just get to the Super Bowl. Just find a way to navigate through the NFC playoffs, because right now the AFC is clearly the stronger of the two. But in my opinion, I think the Rams are the stronger of the two teams. I know there's going to be some Joe Burrow magic. I myself have the luxury of not having to touch this game with a 10-foot pole because of the futures that I have on both teams to win the Super Bowl. Joey, I will be tuning into your prop article. I do think there is a lot of value in a lot of the different props. But one prop that I really do like, and I do have to take this call, and you guys are going to have to carry the team for a second, but I do like Cooper Kupp to win the MVP at plus 650. But I do have my mom on the phone, and she just got out of the hospital today, so I got to answer this one.
Yeah, get it, big dog. But no, and Joey, kind of going off of something, you know, that B-Don said here too, right? With like kind of the team going forward, and obviously the Super Bowl. I will share my pick real quick. It'd be cool to see Joe Burrow win, but it'd also be cool to see Matt Stafford win. So this really is one of those Super Bowls. Like, I don't care which way it goes. I think it's gonna be a good game. I really do, and I think that's gonna make it fun. I'm getting shades of 2015 Super Bowl out of this game because like dominant Denver defense, like really good LA defense, and like, not the greatest offense in Carolina that year, but like Cam Newton was Superman, and like Joe Burrow kind of feels that way too. So I think it's going to be really interesting. But a bet that, again, I was telling you guys before we jumped on, a bet that I really like, and we'll do a little, you know, shades of on tap bets here, Joey. Obviously you're a regular on that show, but I love me some Tyler Boyd anytime touchdown score. Kind of similar to what the Chiefs did last week, right? Like they took away Jamar Chase. Like that was their goal. Take away Jamar Chase, make T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd beat you. Guess what they did? T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd beat them. Sure, that neither one of them scored touchdowns, but they beat them in terms of yards. I think both of them had over 100 yards receiving that game. So like they can beat you with just those two receivers. If you focus all the way on taking Jamar Chase away, they showed you their other two receivers are good enough to carry the load. Like they're just that deep. Like,
yeah.
I've seen people like talking and praising Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd on like the Chicago Bears is potentially a number one receiver right now.
He'd be really solid, man. Especially.
He's a number one, number two. Like with him and Darnell Mooney, like that's a nice one too.
Slot guy.
He is. He's elite out of the slot. And so I think that he's found his. I think the best thing to happen to him was T. Higgins and Jamar Chase coming because it pushed him to the slot, and now he's really excelling there. I think he goes in if he gets bought out. I think there's a chance he gets bought out. Was a rumor. If that happens, Tyler Boyd's a dude like I need on the Bears because I really think he's that good. So like, I like me some Tyler Boyd anytime touchdown score. The fact he's their third receiver just shows you how good that receiving core truly is.
Oh, absolutely.
It's absolutely insane. Absolutely fucking incredible. Like, I like that. I also really love me maybe a little Joe Scheisty anytime touchdown score.
Little quarterback sneak.
I was going back and forth with a friend, talking bets about that game, and that was one they brought up, and I was like, "Ooh, I like that. I don't hate that." But
hey, Ron, another one, yes, just to like not to cut you off, I know you probably have more bets.
No,
just to like kind of further enhance your point about Tyler Boyd, though, real fast. Like we saw even in the Rams game, like the two main options are Debo and George Kittle all the time. But, like, look who had some success. Like, Brandon Ayuk, he had a pretty good game. And that's – I think a lot of that's because those other two drew the focus of the defense. And Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are going to be the guys that draw more of the focus, I think. So, I love that Boyd call, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's possible. And then on top of it, too, kind of in the same manner, I feel like they're going to focus really heavily on Cooper Kupp and really try to take him away. And sure, OBJ might have a good day, but I think Von Jefferson has a sneaky good day. I think he's a guy that you can put a little anytime touchdown scorer on because I feel like he's going to be really good odds. I'm feeling something between like plus 1,200 and plus like 1,900. I feel like probably on that latter end, probably 16, 17, 1,800. But like, I think that's a guy that if you're just looking to dabble a little sprinkle of an anytime touchdown scorer, that's a guy too that I really like going into the Super Bowl.
Put your Van shoes on.
There you have it, boys. I will just be rooting for the Rams and pounding every single prop, like the coin toss and shit, and like all the stuff. Like, but
national anthem, all that.
Yeah, everything. But you guys can tune in to the On Tap Bets show and see the On Tap Bets coverage of that. And then, as you guys know, we're kind of just like on call at this point. Like, the Bears are continuously making moves, so we are continuously making podcasts, despite the fact that there are no games. And we're kind of just on like a TBD. Like, we'll just be back probably at some point next week when more news and more stuff continues to break. But I think we got everything covered for now. Enjoy the Pro. Who's playing in the Pro Bowl from us this weekend?
Quinn is, I think. I don't know if they're.
I think it's Quinn and Jakeem Grant.
I know they're in it, but I don't know if they're like, you know, some guys opt out. I don't even know, to be honest. But can I circle back around to something real fast before we log off?
Absolutely.
I know some people, I've seen it like on Twitter and stuff. Like, people are concerned with Getsy calling plays because he hasn't called plays at the NFL level yet, because Matt Nagy didn't really call plays in Kansas City. And I just want to say that, like, I think these two are totally different guys. Like, there is, like, that's warranted being a little afraid of that, I guess. Like, people that are out there are like concerned about that because we haven't seen him call plays at the NFL. But I think it's a little bit different because he's had so much more experience under different coaches and he's seen different schemes. Whereas I think Matt Nagy was just kind of an Andy Reid disciple, where I think like Luke Getsy is going to be the type of dude where he can like implement his own system and kind of cater it around Justin Fields and take all the knowledge that he has that he's gathered from all these different coaches and systems that he's been around. So, I don't know. I just wanted to touch on that because I feel like maybe I wanted to bring it up earlier and I just forgot about it.
Oh, bro, that shit happens. We just get to talking and then we've been here for an hour and then
we start ranting and it's over with.
Remember it right before we ride out, but it is what it is, bro. Be good. But, yeah, I mean, stay tuned. Obviously, more articles will be coming out as they always do, and we'll be back with you guys at some point in the next few weeks, if not next week. But most of the big guns have already been hired at, you know, the big marquee positions. And I don't know if a podcast for like an assistant special teams coordinator is necessarily due. That can usually be hammered out in about 400 words or less. And as Ron would say, those can be found at ontapsportsnet.com. We are Bears on Tap. You can follow us at Bears on Tap. You can follow me at BDon300. You can follow Joey at the Riot 326. You can also follow Ron up top at Loose on Tap. And our guy Quentin at Black Kiss Stats, who is not with us today, probably be more of a regular guy, more regular feature, depending on his schedule. I know he's got a lot going on, but that's the numbers, man, dude. He's got the model. He's got the numbers. He's significantly smarter than all of us. Like, if you put all three of our brains together, you produce a Quentin. But with that being said, we are Bears on Tap. Thank you for listening, and Bear Don.
Bear Don.
Bear Don.